Welcome back to Creative Disturbance and Metalife. This is Ivantina, still in Texas, with Adam Zaretsky in New York.
Just know that estuaries are available to us to deter and balk and fiend as the unitary titillation bit ties lava's yellow ribbon around old, nurtured movements, suffer the setbacks and undue machinations of the Manchurian necro-axe panacea. The tie play sacrum for utopian undoings, dystopian Rasta Milo genes and proteins. Enter tie technics if the sequel providers and Axe Panacea Est graduates plead for iotas. They dream of bypassing tie marksmanship, which intends viewers to entertain torn notions.
Okay, so let's start again. So what was this poem title and... Where the idea
Oh, it's called Commencement for Teens. I think I spent a year switching around the vowels of a friend's text and then spell checking them and coming up with like new sentence structures. And actually, sometimes if they couldn't be spell checked, I'd make up words. And I ended up with the one infected cutie irks all the desolate silo proteins and emuta gonad worlds comply with the twins SAT new government. It's kind of computer-aided design text. I think artists need to refrain from being linear all the time.
So I just want to follow up on what you talked about earlier, which is, I think 2 years ago, I saw a post from you on the Empire list. You share with us a text that you have presented to the Food and Drug Administration, advocating for the involvement of artists and designers regarding, you know, regarding the use of GMO and transgenic technologies and materials. So why do you think that artists and designers should be involved in the manufacturing of drugs and food? Is it only for aesthetics purposes?
Well, first of all, don't just say only when it comes to aesthetics. Most transgenics is based on aesthetics. It's just based on a really pared-down, minimalist, conceptual aesthetic called utility, like use value. I'm not against people being vaccines being developed for people's health. I'm not against use value in and of itself. But most of what we do is not just utilitarian. Most of what we do is actually ritualistic and obscure. You know, we're actually still quite immersed in the world of magic. And so What is utilitarian for the culture that you happen to be in? For other people might be seen as enhancement. Other people might be seen as suicidal, right? So it depends which culture you're in, what is use value. But use in and of itself isn't all this project is about. A lot of this project is about command and control. There are military applications. There's it's about survival in case we destroy our own planet, which we're doing rather well at. So like space travel, like how to survive in zero gravity, how to survive in cosmic radiation. And a lot of this has to do with enhancement. I mean, the issue of enhancement is sort of left to the side of transgenics, but when we talk about human gene editing, we're talking about first health applications because, you know, you need to go step by step, and for that you need human subjects, and they need to be voluntary, so they need to take and to experiment on them to try to cure them. But the real reason to get the protocol down and to find all the problems and sort of minimize the problems of mutated humans is so that we can mutate humans towards an end. Like I said, different cultures, different subgroups, different secret societies have different end goals for what the human should become. And even when I say secret societies, I'm talking about sports, you know. A javelin thrower would be enhanced differently than, say, a long-distance swimmer, right? But what's most important is that now we're getting into this realm where, although there are ethical problems with enhancement, there are also problems with just thinking about force evolving the human genome into enhancement all by itself. It's not that simple, first of all. There isn't one direction that's better. But there's also the rest of human artistic history, the rest of human aesthetics to think of. Mm-hmm. Besides enhancement, besides living longer, besides looking more beautiful, all of which are problematic, we have things like biological exuberance. There happens to be the rest of the life world out there, and we can pull genes from kangaroos and make humans with pouches. We can pull genes from platypus mm-hmm. and start to lay eggs or shoot poison darts out of the back of our legs. So there's a lot more in the life world available than we can even think about aesthetically, unless you're a really far-fetched, near-psychotic surrealist. Not only that, we have morphological possibilities. We can have multiple arms, mm-hmm. multiple heads. You can have little tiny heads all over.
Okay, so let me just ask you this question, Adam Zawadzki. Are you a transhumanist?
I've been thinking about that lately because I am an anti-enhancement transhumanist, or what you would call an anti-aesthetic transhumanist, or the best possible way of saying it is a queer transhumanist. Okay, so I don't believe in hopeless optimism. I'm not part of the singularity church of I'm okay, you're okay. I actually have a lot of critical and ethical dilemmas that aren't easily washed away with everything will work out as long as we are forward-thinking and love ourselves like Ayn Rand or something. No, I'm not that simple about the whole scenario, but I do think I would like to see humans that are manipulated by humans. It's actually nicer to the rest of the life world if we only work on humans and leave everybody else alone, because we're the queer transhumanists. You know, kangaroos don't need to be transgenic. We don't need transgenic livestock. We just need to engineer ourselves to, you know, grow burgers out of our hair, you know, and we can pluck them and eat them.
But how are you going to keep it from, you know, from happening if you allow the use of, if you allow the practice of transgenics?
Well, let me just say, I grew up in Woodstock, New York, and this is sort of like the center of hippie culture. So when I saw the X-Files, I thought, oh, all this leftist conspiracy theory, I grew up with this. We know from having conspiracy theory spouted to me an early age, we know that 2/3 of what you hear as conspiracy theory now turns out to have been true in 50 years, right? So Iran-Contra and all the cocaine that the Republicans were dealing to give weapons to the Iranians to keep Carter from getting reelected. That was all true. Iran-Contra came out true. But we heard about it first. So let me just tell you this. Transgenic humans are being made right now. Human enhancement is happening right now. The technology has been there since the 70s. It's been not perfected, but probably, yeah, you heard it here first. Gulf War syndrome is probably an attempt to make transgenic army brats. It's not unusual for me to think that there are people that are going to go into a spaceship to Mars, that they're not regular humans, but that they're humans 2.0 when we send that voyage to Mars. It's not unusual for me to think that people with a lot of money are going to want longevity genes. And I'm talking about the CEOs mm-hmm. of some of the companies that are practicing this. It's true that CRISPR and zinc fingers and some of these targeted mutation devices are better at inserting into the human genome at a certain place instead of disrupting genes that are necessary, like oncogenes, et cetera. But we're going to have human artificial chromosomes that take lots of cassettes, and maybe we can pull them in and push them out, et cetera. When it comes to transgenic humans, I think it's time to actually say the human genome is already being influenced, right? Whether it's by technology or by the environment, toxins, et cetera. But it's time to talk mm-hmm. about what are some of the other directions we can go in than the ones that are going on behind closed doors. What is the public democratized face of even the unacceptable face of the future human?
Okay, so what is it like to be a GMO, and what it is like to design, birth, and raise a GMO child, as you asked?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sort of interesting. I'm sure that we understand that there are painful psychosocial feelings that humans have when they feel different. We know about mm-hmm. bullying. We know about what it feels to be ostracized. We don't know exactly what it means to feel like someone else, before you were born, intentionally made you a one-of-a-kind, a sort of obscure, mm-hmm. unique person. But to tell you the truth, mm-hmm. if you're born with a giraffe neck and you're blue and you're furry, that's still you. You know, we're all actually unique and different and beautiful, you know, all over the world. I'm kind of impressed with the range already of humans, not just wild mutations, but just the range of difference on the planet that's come from migration patterns and new populations and mixing. And really, a lot of it, probably two-thirds of it, is based on aesthetics like beauty, like attraction. You know, people say, oh, you know, like people from different continents grew different because they had different diets or different climates. And I'm like, no, they grew different because they have different senses of beauty, and they had their own beauty pageants around the fire, and things went down, you know? And like, that means that all mm-hmm. of us, all over the world, are based on aesthetic beauty, and we're gorgeous, you know? All of us represent a local gorgeousness. And so, in some ways, I don't think it's that different. I'll tell you a little story. Can I tell you a story?
And then we're going to close this part.
This is simple. I went to Marlborough Orchids. It's an orchid breeding house. And orchids, it takes like 20 years to make a good award-winning orchid. And I went to the breeder and I said, what do you do to when you see two flowers that you want to mix? And he said, well, over here you tear off the flower petals on this one. And he said, they're basically like labia. You're tearing the labia off of the genital of the plant. And then you pull the penises off the other plant. The stamens, you just yank them off, you like castrate them. And then you rub them together. You say, I'm going to be the father of this flower. I'm going to mush this penis into this vagina. And then I'm going to collect their seeds. And I said, well, you're horrible. You are mean. You're like disruptive. You're destroying the environment. And he looked at me and he said, sue me. I'm a bumblebee. He said, sue me, I'm a bumblebee. You know? So in some ways, we're just part of the life world. You know, we like to think that we're doing something a little deviant. It is maybe a little bit like, you know, taking genes from a kangaroo and putting them into a human. There's some bestiality there. Being involved with the making of new life is a little Frankensteinian. But it's also, you know, we may just be weird pollinators.